Hi, this is Pastor John, and today's devotion is going to come from Acts chapter 18. So if you would, grab your Bible, and let's begin at verse 1. And while you're turning there, to set the context, Paul has just left Athens, and he's now coming to Corinth. This is the end of the second missionary journey, and really the beginning of the third missionary journey. They both intersect in this chapter. Paul is alone. He's going to have to work to raise some money, and he's going to have some challenges ahead of him. And as we dig deeper into this passage, I want you to notice how God providentially meets the needs of Paul in this journey. So let's begin with verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Now, if you recall in the previous chapter, Paul had just preached his famous sermon on Mars Hill about the unknown God. There, these men had gathered and they wanted to hear new ideas. And after Paul had preached his sermon, some believed, but most didn't. Now Paul comes to Corinth, and this was like a culture shock. To give you an analogy, it's like moving from Boston to Las Vegas. To help you understand the mindset of Paul going into Corinth, you need to remember that he had suffered a terrible beating in Philippi. He was rejected by most of the citizens in Thessalonica and Berea. And then he had this indifference in Athens. We also gain some additional insights from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Let me read. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Did you catch that? The great apostle Paul comes to the Corinthians and admits he's weak and he's afraid. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged to hear that from the apostle Paul. The Christian life is difficult, but there's a great lesson here. The gospel moves in power with those who are humble, with those who acknowledge their weaknesses, those who are transparent and authentic, rather than those who have a thin veneer pretending to have confidence, pretending to be strong. God doesn't want that from you and me. He wants us to be genuine. And that means at times we're going to be weak and we're going to be afraid, but we persevere, we continue on. And that's exactly what Paul does here. And that brings us to verse 2. "And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them." Paul is just like you and me. When we are alone for too long, we desire the fellowship of others. One thing that this coronavirus shutdown has exposed is our desire and need for fellowship with one another. Now, Priscilla and Aquila were an outstanding couple. They always appeared together on the pages of scriptures. We know that they were selfless and brave. They risked their own lives for Paul, according to Romans 16:4. They were hospitable. They even hosted the church in their home, according to 1 Corinthians 16:19. They were flexible. They worked together as leather workers. They were committed to Christ and teaching rightly about him. You can see this demonstrated as they tactfully approach Apollos to show him the gospel more clearly. So we can see the providential care and love that God has for Paul by arranging the circumstances to find this amazing couple. Then in verse 3, we read, "So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers." So of all the people that Paul could have bumped into, he finds his future co-workers who have the same trade. And now Paul's able to work and generate some income so he can continue in the ministry. What a great example to each of us of persevering to overcome the challenges, the trials, the obstacles that arise in life. Now we read in verse 4, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." Paul's back in the game. Now there's a big transition here in verse 5 that I don't want you to miss. Now remember, Paul was alone. He now finds Priscilla and Aquila. He begins to work, and now he's back in the ministry. But in verse 5, we read, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Now, there's a lot going on here, so let me bring a few passages in to show you how significant Silas's and Timothy's arrival is to Paul. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. So the Philippians were supplying help and resources to Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:9. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. That's Silas and Timothy. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. In addition to these supplies, listen to this in 1 Thessalonians 3:6 through 10. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. So here's what's going on. Paul's alone. He then meets Priscilla and Aquila. He starts working. He gets back and starts ministering. Silas and Timothy arrive. That fellowship encourages Paul. Silas and Timothy bring resources from other supporting churches to Paul, and that's an encouragement. And Silas and Timothy brought encouraging words from the previous churches they had ministered to earlier. This is like amazing encouragement, and I don't want you to miss again the providential care of God over Paul. And the Lord does this not just for Paul, but he does this for us. But do you see how God accomplishes this providential care for Paul? He does it through Spirit-filled believers who love one another. This is the body of Christ at work, and it's such a great picture of why we need one another. Some people in the body will supply our physical needs. Some will supply words of encouragement. But together, we accomplish what no single individual could do by itself. I think this is why Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And Paul right now in Acts 18:5 is experiencing this love not only from God, but from the body. And now Paul's refreshed and we come to verse 6. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Now, at first blush, this passage almost seems out of place, but I want you to see a connection here. Remember, in verse 5, Paul was compelled. That word compelled means to be seized. He came under the control of the Spirit. And as a result of that, his preaching was powerful. And because the preaching was powerful and effective and people were coming to faith, we now see the opposition, the enemy, step in and try to stop what Paul is doing. So that's one aspect of this. But also remember, up to this point, God has been encouraging Paul. He needed to be refreshed and encouraged to face the next battle. And so both of these are interconnected. We need each other for encouragement, but we also need each other for the battles. Interestingly, this is where Paul begins to refocus his ministry to the Gentiles, and that is significant. This expression, he shook his garments, is basically symbolizing the same thing as shaking one's dust from one's sandals. In other words, this is rejection. You have rejected the gospel. Therefore, I must move on in ministry. The expression, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean, is reminiscent of Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 through 21. And the principle is pretty straightforward. We do have a responsibility to let others know about the gospel. And Paul, in walking away from these Jews in the synagogue, was saying, look, I have fulfilled my responsibility to you. My conscience is clear. And this results in a focused ministry to the Gentiles. Let's pick up in verse 7. And he, Paul, departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. This is the birth of the Corinthian church. Now, at this point, I want to pause here and bring something to your attention. There's a certain pattern in Paul's ministry. He will preach, people will repent and believe, so there'll be fruit from the preaching. Then there'll be opposition. But sometimes that opposition, and in many cases with Paul, escalates to where he's being physically persecuted or literally thrown out of town. And I bet you, as Paul is watching this happen, he's preaching, he's seeing fruit, he's seeing opposition, and he's thinking to himself, here we go again. It's going to get violent. And then in verse 9, we read this. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. Wow! The Lord himself appears to the Apostle Paul to give him a promise and word of encouragement. Paul, it's not going to turn out like you were thinking. You thought it'd be violent, but no, you're going to stay here and you're going to minister and you're going to have a fruitful ministry. What an amazing gift of God himself to Paul. And we read in verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, if we look back at these 11 verses, do you see how God is working all things together for good? Sure, there are difficult times, there are trials, there's tribulations. But when the body of Christ is seeking the face of God, when the body of Christ is serving and loving one another, the mission goes forward. People are encouraged, the church is strengthened, and the church grows. So in closing, with the backdrop of Acts 18, 1 through 11, I want you to think about encouragement from two perspectives, vertically and horizontally. From the vertical perspective, acknowledge that God is working in all the circumstances of your life to encourage you, to equip you, to help you. From the horizontal perspective, we have a duty and responsibility to one another to encourage and supply what is needed for the moment. So be in prayer for the vertical, asking God for help, and from the horizontal, be alert for opportunities to meet the needs of another, both of those in the church as well as those outside the church. And if you're struggling right now, regardless of the reason, I ask that you would reach out to a fellow member at Brookside or reach out to one of the pastors or deacons. We'd be privileged at the opportunity to pray with you and encourage you through this difficult time. Let's pray together. Father, as I look at this amazing chapter, a little snippet of the life of Paul, it reveals that you are kind and gracious and loving, but you have not left us here alone. You've given us your spirit and you've given us the body of Christ. Help us, Father, to thrive in these challenging days. In Christ's name I pray, amen.